Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals dealer. We've been doing business, a couple decades, buying and selling all forms of coins and precious metals, specializing in wealth and capital preservation, helping people preserve their finances in a biblically conservative way. I've been doing some recordings here lately, and I'm going to see if I can get fortunate enough to pull up some of the notes that we've had that we've gone over, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Coins Plus here, if I can get some of these notes up. One thing I guess we never really finished talking about, which was, I know on the last show, we talked about this farce with Dr. Ford accusing Brett Kavanaugh, I think his name is Judge Kavanaugh, of sexual assault with absolutely no evidence, no corroborating evidence, no corroborating witnesses, absolutely nothing. And folks, I mean, honestly, I remember back in the 90s when thought speech, is that what you would call it? Thought speech, you know, whatever it is, speech control, or I don't know what this proper term is. But I remember back in the 90s when they started this stuff, when they started to control what you said, and they started to do the Clarence Thomas thing where Anita Hill, you know, where they wanted to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and it was conservative, and they went after him in a heinous, you know, just terrible way. And I mean, Brett Kavanaugh is from all, you know, practical purposes, is a godly man. What's really sad is that the left jumps on these destructive, hateful bandwagons that are absolutely, you know, what surprises me is that there's no level of dignity, okay? These are behaviors you would never tolerate from your own children, I would hope, okay? You know, just absolutely ripping these people apart, using these vicious, vile names, understanding that you are innocent in America until proven guilty. But it isn't about that, is it? It's about politics. Why? You know, what is the number one reason they don't want Judge Kavanaugh in there? Well, there's two. Number one is he's conservative, and he will affect the court conservatively. And he's a sensible conservative. He's a real conservative. They want people, they literally want these judges legislating from the bench. And folks, do you understand the way our system of checks and balances goes? You have Congress, you know, the legislative body that writes the laws, okay? And then you have the president that upholds the law. The president is basically the police officer of the United States. His primary focus when the Constitution was developed was to protect our borders, our boundaries, just like a man would protect his home. And then thirdly, you have the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's job is to, you know, I don't want to say uphold the law because that's what I just said the president does, but their job is to understand the constitutional translation, to make sure that the law is executed properly. So the president executes the law, the House creates the law, and the Supreme Court make sure the law is being executed fairly and properly and justly and rightfully. Well, what's happened with the liberals, those lovely liberals, folks, it's sad because this is half of America. I mean, it's so sad. I talked to a gal last night at my wife and I were at, we were actually at an event where we saw, we were in a situation, it was last night or night before, but we saw Mike Pence we saw him going into a bathroom stall and watched Secret Service checking with him every 30 seconds or so to make sure he was okay. It was quite interesting. But anyway, we were at the Davenport. And while we were down there, we're talking to this gal, and I did not even begin to get into her political beliefs. Okay, I didn't care. I didn't want to know because you know what happens next, right? But the thing that really, that she really expressed that really bothered her the most is just how vitriolic and destructive politics has become. I mean, you take half of America. I mean, really, folks, candidly, what did Obama do for this nation? I mean, where did he learn this divisive, terrible, you know, behavior? It from the Quran. I mean, it's absolute Islam. In my opinion, that is Islamic behavior. It's designed to destroy the West, to destroy democracy. Democracy is supposed to be an open and free debate of ideas and thoughts and, you know, and let the better idea win. And if you lose, democracy is not about being a sore loser, okay? I mean, let's face it. Democracy is about finding out what's best for the nation. And it's and granted, I mean, we aren't hypothetically a democracy. We're a republic, right? I mean, we're ultimately a land of laws. We have a series of laws that have been preordained, pre-established, and those are to be the foundational principles by which we live. And everything else rests upon those. But it's just like having the foundation of a building, or even more so, it's like the bedrock of the earth. In a republic, the Constitution is the bedrock. It is supposed to be immovable, unchangeable. And they made it very difficult to change the Constitution. But it is possible. It requires, you know, 2/3 majorities of votes of the Congress and the Senate and the states and a certain amounts of time. And I don't remember all the requirements, but it is complicated. But it can happen, because what's happening now is we are living in, you know, the book 1984, the future. Big Brother's in control. Who is Big Brother? Big Brother is your television set. Folks, I have a problem because we're moving to a smaller place, and, well, a little bit smaller. We're moving off the water, and I have a theater. I love movies. I love movies, but I hate TV. And I used to watch Fox News, I mean, pretty regularly during the Obama administration and when O'Reilly was there and Greta and all these people. I wasn't ever crazy about Megan. But, you know, they've got, I was just thinking this morning, the old guard is gone. The new guard has come. And they do a lot of bickering and griping and complaining and arguing and beating each other up. And, I mean, it's the negativity and vitriol is just, I don't know. I don't see it as healthy debate. I don't know that our founding fathers expected us to be so unkind and hateful to one another. Now, you know, I can't purely say that, because I do know that there were some tremendous contentions between politicians. I mean, we know to point where men could call each other out into a duel. Do you understand what that means? That men could literally go to a duel where they would pace off, turn around, and shoot at each other to kill each other. That was legal. And I think it was Alexander Hamilton who died. I could be completely wrong. One of our presidents died by being a gentleman. He went into a duel situation, and he was being a gentleman, and he was pacing off. And I don't know, obviously, all the rules of dueling. Haven't studied those lately. And I assume most of you don't either. But Alexander Hamilton, I think it was, paced off. And apparently he turned around and set his gun down. Or, you know, he used, there, he'd already given all the signals that, look, this is going to be, apparently there was a gentleman's way of laying down your arms and saying, look, enough's enough, and blah, blah, blah. Well, sadly and unfortunately, the other gentleman didn't catch the drift, or he went ahead and shot him and killed him anyway. And, you know, and that's how we actually lost one of our presidents. Now, I say Alexander Hamilton, I could be so wrong, so please don't quote me on that. But can you believe we lived in a time like that where you could say, you know, you're kind of making me mad. Let's go shoot each other. Or let's go see who's a better shot and we'll shoot at each other. I'm like, what? You know, we have come a ways. But at the same time, men were men. And that can be, in this era, that can be taken very, very sexist. Because at the same time, men need to honor women and love their wives. And the Bible, where the Bible I discussed recently, when the Bible discusses for women to submit to their wives, that scripture has been taken out of context so bad, so many times, that it is almost worthless, right? Where the Bible says to for wives to submit. I think, when is that? Is that in Ephesians 5 or something like that? I'm going to go look that up. I'm going to, it's interesting because I want to touch on that scripture real quick. You guys are probably like, God, this guy is all over the place. I've actually had complaints about it. I've had complaints where I start topics and I don't finish them, and people call and say, man, this guy's crazy. But it's just what you get when you listen to Kevin Walter on True Wealth. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, wives. Now, see, I'm in NASB. Now, I was told long ago that the NASB was the most accurate transliteration. Now, this was at a time when the NIV was kind of a train wreck. I suspect, I can't guarantee it, but I suspect that the NIV has probably done a lot to correct that, okay? So there's a very high likelihood that the NIV is a lot more accurate than it used to be. But the NASB, which is the New American Standard Bible, is still known as the most accurate transliteration, which means word for word, phrase for phrase, it's the most directly accurate translation out there. So that's what I use. Now, in Ephesians 5, it talks about, you know, always giving thanks, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Folks, I did not intend to stop at that point, but isn't that what we should be doing? I am telling you, I've been working on this so much lately. We have been going through so much in our lives, you can't even believe it. It's a time of testing. It's a time of trial. And it's so weird because I've had such a beautiful life. And I was going back yesterday through a decade of beautiful pictures and, oh my gosh, all the wonderful experiences I've had with my family and my wife, and just God has blessed us so much. I've gotten to travel and see the world, and I have beautiful, healthy grandkids and just a wonderful, sweet wife. And I've had the pleasure of this business. I love coins. I will admit, between us, I get really frustrated with the administrative side of things. I'll stay here at night. I work sometimes to hours that no one would even imagine. Crazy. You know, I've done countless all-nighters, and people are like, what? You know, those are the times I just get so groggy, you can't even understand me, where I literally will work straight through the night without a drop of sleep. Why? Because there's work that's got to be done. There's no one else that's going to do it for me. And it's the nature of the beast. So that's why we've rearranged our lives a little bit. And my ultimate goal is to try to stabilize that. The biggest problem with coins is there's different groups of coins. Okay, you got your bullion. You know what that is, I hope. It is simply gold and silver, platinum, palladium. It's items that trade specifically for their gold, silver content, intrinsic, simple, okay? Then you've got, you know, certified coins, investment coins, things like that. Easy money, easy. You put them down, they're worth what they're worth. Cash in, cash out, liquid, they're as liquid as stuff gets. The market does fluctuate on them. They are an item that is very responsive to economic conditions, okay? They are a hard asset. They are an investment for the long haul. They're an investment for tough times. They and precious metals are absolute hard assets. They are items that you want in your portfolio. I don't care if it's all or part or what, but if you do not have a substantial portion of your money in hard assets, and I'm talking silver dollars, you know, gold coins, bags of silver, old U.S. tradable stuff. First of all, folks, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been through times of no water and no power. The world changes so fast. I mean, it's terrifying. When you have no power now and we're all dependent on cell phones, what do you do when the mob comes? I mean, seriously, what do you do when the mob comes? You have no one to call. You better be armed. You better, you know, and I have a severely ridiculous collection of tactical arms that I could kind of start my own army, but I don't, you know, I've got to sell some or something because I'm moving. And I'm telling you what, folks, I built in my house that I just sold. I added a wing. I bought a large house on the river on 5 acres, and I added a wing. And under that wing, I built an underground gun room. And there was man, is it full? So, and in this new house we're buying, which is very beautiful, we're getting it. It's a tremendous home from a man who was very famous in gold mining and did very well in his life, and there's a massive amount of acreage there, and it's just absolutely beautiful. But I've got all this physical stuff, literal stuff, you know. I've got cars. I mean, I'm a car fanatic. I've got watches. I collect Rolex watches. I collect diamonds, obviously, and, you know, and I've got gold. In my case, and this is me, I put all my extra money into gold. Now, you might say, but gold goes down and up and on and on and on. Yeah, it does. But you know what? It's always gold. And God said it's always going to be there. It's the only thing, I mean, not the only thing, but it's, you know, gold and silver, livestock. I've discussed with you, the only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth are what? Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. That's it. Those are the things that have lasted forever as far as man's been on earth and recorded, and will last forever because God tells us clearly they're going to be all over heaven, right? Precious metals. So if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. I'm one of those kind of guys, okay? I'm one of those guys that say if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. If God gave Jesus, if he had the wise man come and bring Jesus what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first gift that God gave to his son on earth. Welcome to earth, son. Gold. Doesn't that say something? Doesn't that seriously say something about gold? And I really... It's been so long, years back, many of you would never recall because it was probably almost a decade ago. I did a radio show on gold, and I went through all of the biblical, not all, but I went through the biblical references to gold, and I discussed all the cool, amazing properties of gold. I discussed the impact on earth. I discussed the fact that, you know, gold was the first thing given to his son. I've discussed multiple times that gold is the is mentioned in conjunction with creation. I mean, think about that. With creation? So God says, in the beginning, guy, I created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out without form and void. And then I said, let there be light. And then I created plants and man and animals and all this stuff. And in the very next chapter after that, just verses away, he goes, now, there were these rivers flowing out of Eden. What's really weird is somehow man was blocked out of the Garden of Eden, but there were still rivers flowing out of Eden. Okay? Whatever that means. He names the rivers. Then he tells them the river Pishon. Where there was gold in the land of Havilah, which means the low sandy lands. Do you know that the pharaohs used to bathe in gold sand? Gold is found naturally in the lowlands. Why would it not be after a great flood? What do gold panners do? They put dirt in a pan and they spin it around, and what happens? The gold stays on the bottom and the rest of the stuff comes out. Why would there be massive veins of gold throughout the earth? Well, there's a number of theories. One is obvious. It's just tectonic plate shifting and volcanic activity and heat and all that stuff. But there are locations on earth where it appears that there were kingdoms. And when the Great Flood hit, and folks, I want you to understand, when the Great Flood hit, it was nothing like you can even fathom. If you think of an ice shell covering the earth, I mean, I just was at, I was just in an area by the coast where I sat and I looked out across the ocean and I could see as far as the eye could see, and I could barely detect the curvature of the earth, okay? So the earth is darn big. And if you think of an ice shell, okay, God said he created the firmament below and the firmament above. You think of an ice shell breaking and this extraordinarily cold air blasting down to earth, and then all this rain and water falling and ice and incredible amounts of moisture and precipitation to the point where it created glaciers that went from, that covered the whole, I think it covered the whole globe in ice and snow. I think we went into the ice age. An absolute time of pure, cold, nasty, tough stuff. And we think we have global warming going on. Foolishness. Phooey, I say. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's not true. What I'm saying is it's been going on for quite some time. But if you think of the power and the smashing of that, along with all the pressure of the water from somehow under the earth, moving tectonic plates, etc. So anyway, there's theories that there were kingdoms on mountaintops. They were crushed by all this pressure and movement, and gold was what everybody that had money wanted, and that's why there's certain veins and areas of gold, because these kingdoms existed, and all of this incredible catastrophic behavior left the gold veins and so on and so forth, and I won't get into that a whole much more. But basically, when you get into gold in the second chapter of Genesis, I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. God gave his people gold always. Gold was the measure of wealth. It was the measure of blessing. Gold was the measure of refinement and purity and goodness. And, you know, he's used it. Oh, I mean, there's just countless uses. So there, you study it in the Bible, and he, you know, when he blesses his people, he loads them up with gold. When they, even during the Exodus, somehow he made the people of Egypt, give them gold. Pharaohs were supposed to be deities. When Moses went to Pharaoh and said, my God's going to do this to you, and then he's going to do that to you, and Pharaoh's like, phooey, I am God, you know. This is the Pharaoh was a deity. And when our God destroyed Egypt, and the Egyptians were eventually freed after 400 years of captivity, the people gave them all their riches, all their wealth, all their gold. Why? I'm not quite sure, other than the movement of the Holy Spirit or the fact that their God had just devastated the land. And what I was getting at is pharaohs used to bathe in black salt, black sand gold, or gold, black sand, or whatever you want to call it. There's areas where gold comes in black sand, and it's thick with gold, and it's heavy. I've seen it. It is heavy, and it's easy to refine, very easy to refine and get the gold out. But the pharaohs used to bathe in this, and by today's standards, I've heard everything from a bath of this nature costing between $140 million all the way to $1 billion in gold. Now, depending on how big the vat was that these pharaohs bathed in. But let's just say it's $100 million worth of gold. That's the kind of baths they took because they knew there were supernatural powers in the gold. They lived, according to a lot of the records, 30 to 40 years longer than the average people. Was it because they ate better? I don't think so. People always think that every generation just was in sheer poverty. And, you know, that's not human nature. We do things. You know, they always say necessity is the mother of invention. We correct problems. And if we have a leader who's a tyrant, men rise up and go to war. The problem that we have now with upcoming Big Brother is that the power of military is so much greater than mankind. The only way we could ever defend ourselves again in a revolt would be through extreme guerrilla warfare. ISIS and these Islamic religions are doing it. You know, they hide in buildings and they bomb, you know, and then they have no morals and ethics and they kill women and children. And the U.S. doesn't do this stuff that I know of. We've got ethics and morals and standards that we live by, and there's things we will and will not do. But when you get to the point where gold is mentioned in the second chapter, it goes all the way through. It's all the way through heaven. It's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. And that's all I'm saying is it matters. Okay, so where I was going with that is you got to have some. And as I'm making some changes in my life and I'm really focusing on savings, I mean, I'm in my 50s and I have to retire someday, right? You got to prepare and protect. So I'm loading up on gold and silver. And some people say, well, aren't you putting all your eggs in one basket? I'm like, are you kidding me? I do a ton of rare coins too, by the way. And I know some people aren't as familiar with them as I am. But it's very important. When you get into numismatic coins, folks, you do got to know who you're dealing with a little bit. And a lot of times it's not going to look like you expect. You know, you expect big old silver dollars certified, and you might end up with a 1856 Flying Eagle penny, which, by the way, I wish I had. I've only had maybe one in my entire career. I had one. Folks, to put it into perspective, when I built my building and I sold my coin collection, I sold a half Disney, okay, one of the first coins made in the United States. Melted supposedly in either a barn or the basement of George Washington's house out of melted forms of Martha Washington, George Washington's wife's, sterling silverware. I bought mine for $10,000 in the 90s, sold it for like $13,000 in the early 2000s. Today, probably worth $500,000-$600,000. I had the 1796 quarter, the first U.S. quarter ever made, certified mint state 63. That coin I bought for $27,500. I sold it to a supposed friend for $31,000 on a handshake promise that if he ever sold it, he'd sell it back to me again. a couple months, about a month or two later, there was a half-page ad in one of our coin magazines where he was retailing it for double because one had just sold. And I knew that when I sold it to him. That coin today is probably worth $400,000 or $500,000, $1,794 silver dollar. I sold for $65,000 today, worth probably $475,000. So these are coins that, I mean, even Carson City dollars, 89 Carson City dollar in AU 55, $10,000 coin, or AU 58, you know, literally a $20,000 coin or $18,000, something like that, that I put into a customer's portfolio here a while ago. I mean, folks, literally 20 years ago, $2,500. So it's gone from $2,500 to almost $20,000. I mean, there's good coin investments out there. Trust me, there's darn good coin investments. Then you take, then on the contrast, you take Mint State 65, Common Date Morgan Silver Dollars that were very high in the 80s, and they've come down. You know, they might have been $500, and now they're $150. But that's a bad example because they're a good value. The reason was because as certification became more popular, more and more people certified their coins. The populations became better known. They became more aware of how many existed, and the value was adjusted. Now, the market has turned its eye away from coins, I'm going to be honest with you, and they're looking at paper. They're looking at the market. Everybody wants these short-term gains. They want, you know, they've got their 401k in this or their 401k in that. And I'll tell you what, folks, you can do 401ks and IRAs in precious metals. We do it every day, all the time. It's an easy process. You just need to contact us, and I would recommend it. I mean, it's a hard asset. I would also recommend seriously putting, if you have money and say, if you have 10 or 20 or 30 or whatever, I don't care, put a portion of your money into metals. I'm not just peddling something. I am essentially repeating to you exactly what the Bible says. If God said it's money, guess what it is? If it's good enough for God, is it good enough for you? Paper money is not money. It's a promise from one man to another that you carry around and trade that it's an IOU. You're trading IOUs, okay? So in the long run, what happens to IOUs? They're going bad. Things change. Throughout history, country after empire after, you know, country has gone to what we're calling fiat currency. And in every single case, it's collapsed, okay? So fine, go get your 401k and IRA or whatever. Go get your paper investments. But I promise you, another crash is coming. If you think it's not, you're nuts. I mean, what goes up must come down. It's simple mathematics. It's simple economics. It's undebatable. And people say, yeah, but how high will it go first? I don't know. But I guarantee you, they're still artificially manipulating all the indexes. They're still removing and replacing stocks to make it look better. They're still using weighted moving averages to make it look better. They still have a plunge protection team to prop it up to make it look better. You know, you want to be a part of that? You want to have your entire future hanging on that stuff, folks? There, like I've said, I stood in Walmart and I saw a 72-year-old physician and his wife greeting people at the door of Walmart years back after the collapse of 08 because they lost everything. Was that fair? No. If they would have had precious metals, where would they be? Well, they would have grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. But at the worst case, they'd have had a hard asset. They'd have had something, right? Something. And I'll tell you what, something's a lot better than nothing. So I'm just telling you, folks, give us a call, 444-0044, get your tail in here, and at least secure part of your portfolio in long-term hard assets. Don't put it in. I mean, if you have money, let's say you're going to buy some real estate in 6 or 8 months. I still say, you know, just straight gold or silver and you're going to make money. You're going to do just fine. Use it as your savings account. It is so underpriced right now. It's unfathomable. So my personal goal is I'm putting all mine in gold and silver and rare coins. That's me. I know what I'm doing. I hear people out there thinking, well, yeah, Kevin, you know what you're doing exactly. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I would treat you any different. I mean, we try to build portfolios that make good sense, you know. Uncirculated, I just put together an uncirculated roll of 1878 San Francisco Morgan silver dollars. Well, guess what the first year of the Morgan silver dollar is? 1878. These were minted in San Francisco. You know, and guess what the number one collectible in the world is? The Morgan silver dollar. You go to eBay, the largest dollar volume traded on eBay is Morgan silver dollars. They are always there. People love them. They're great big chunks of silver. And you can buy lower quality. I hate the word junk. People talk about bags of junk silver. You know, they say, you sell bags of junk silver? I'm like, I hate that term because all it means is coins dated 1964 and older and that are silver, okay? They're not junk. They're actually really nice usually. I hate the term junk. I don't know where it came from, but it's stupid. It's U.S. silver coinage. It's pre-1965 U.S. silver coinage. And yes, we do trade that. And frankly, you can get bags where we separate them, and you'll get dimes and quarters and halves. They're a wonderful tradable, barterable commodity. Why? Because people know what it is. You got 180 different coin books out there. Now you got the internet. You got everywhere you turn that tells you specifically what the silver content of that item is. And you can trade that with anybody anytime, anywhere. You know, there's a fractional handful of people out there that don't understand metals. But boy, that's a small group anymore. I mean, people know. You want to trade with your neighbor, times get tough. I promise you that a day will come where the U.S. dollar is going to go kaput. China has a 20-year plan to absolutely, completely replace the United States of America in every possible way. So I was reading about this the other day. And I'm telling you, folks, it is unbelievable. Okay, it's interesting. Okay, so China's got a 20-year plan. Let me look this up here. 20-year plan to rule the world. Right. The problem is they mean it, and I don't know if it's because they're underdogs. I don't know if it's because they've been around a lot longer than us, right? You think they might be pretty good at this kind of stuff? But they probably found every chink in our armor. Now, when we get into all this stuff about other countries manipulating our elections and Russia being involved, and of course they are. I mean, this all, you, folks, fake news, which Donald Trump really coined the phrase, is so true. It's so true. You get fed such a crock of baloney from the news. They don't tell you the things that really affect you and I. They just, everything is just the gossip of the day. What we get, I don't know if you remember, I'm an older feller, I'm 52, but I remember the National Enquirer, which you can still see at newsstands when you go through the grocery store. There's the National Enquirer sit there, and it's like, you know, woman gives birth to monkey with two heads and that kind of garbage, you know. Or, yeah, you know, it's just full, full of garbage, right? But that's what the main media has become, is the National Enquirer. It's just hyped up filth. They want activity now. They want you to click on their junk. They want to get money. They get money every time you click. I used to find lists of things. I love lists, and my son knows that when he helps me study for the show a little bit. I love lists because I like to go point by point by point. Now, in order to do that, you have to go page by page by page, because every time you click on a page, all these ads pop up on the page, and then they tell the advertiser that they had a what they call an impression. All an impression means is that that ad was presented to somebody surfing the web on that page. It doesn't mean you looked at it. It doesn't mean anything, except for it makes you think that you're, you know, that you're getting activity. Now, Google's pretty smart about how they operate. Trust me, they're no fools. And they have turned this into a multi-billion dollar industry, which is sad, because trying to get real information. So the bottom line is China reveals that they want to be the world superpower. Okay, and that's just what it is. They literally want to do it. They plan to do it, and you'd best be prepared for when they do it, because at this point, there's no sign that they won't do it. What could happen is they could end up, you know, well, we will end up in Armageddon, okay? Now, if we go to Armageddon, which is the big one, at the end of time, what do you want for money? What, you know, first of all, if you think about it, you know, what leads up to Armageddon? You know, who, you know, creates Armageddon? And you have to ask yourself, when somebody comes after us and they destroy our infrastructure, power, so you have no power. Folks, if you even think of the power, you think of the impact of that, you will have no electricity to your well. Okay, none. You'll have no communication on your cell phone. You'll have no lights. You will not be able to cook on a stove. You'll have no heat. I mean, you'll have nowhere to dispose of your refuse. Your toilets won't work. You know, it's a scary concept. It's coming. There is biblical prophecy that there is events coming that will wipe out huge masses of humanity. I promise you, at the end, God tells us about this wrath that comes down. And then he tells us that when it's all over and it's wrapped up, and he says the more that his angels unleash this wrath on the earth, the more men shake their fists at God. The more they curse God, the men don't repent in these situations. They turn against God. Folks, that scares me in a big way. Then ultimately what happens in the Bible is it says there comes a point where God's wrath is poured so hard and the end is coming that men cast their gold and silver in the streets, because it's no longer worth anything, because it will no longer buy you salvation. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, okay? I have people that say to me, well, see, this shows that it's going to become worthless. Folks, this shows that until the last second of the last minute of the last hour on this earth, it's going to be of value. Now, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, but he tells us the signs of and the times of the seasons and all that. So we may even, you know the year. I don't know. But I'm just saying, he says no one knows the last minute, the last second. But he does tell us that we do know the last, you know, we know when we're there. We know when we're real close and when it's really going down. And that's what really matters. And, folks, I'm just telling you, owning precious metals is smart. It's a very smart thing to do. It's a biblical thing to do. And it's a way to protect yourself. And now is a great, great, great time to be doing it. There's no reason why you should not be doing it. And the prices are so right, it's not even funny. It's quite mind-boggling, to be candid with you, that the prices are what they are. So just to go over some things about Coins Plus, right? I want to tell you a little bit about our company. What makes Coins Plus unique? In one word, folks, integrity, okay? For over two decades, our motto at Coins Plus has been honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We actually strive for that. It's our goal. We're a high-volume, low-margin buyer and seller of rare coins and collections. We scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, and all types of gold, silver, and bullion. If you have old jewelry and, you know, gold jewelry and things like that, bring it in. We'll take care of you. No collection is too large or too small. We buy everything from a few bucks to a few $1 million and everything in between. We're well capitalized. Okay, so no collection is too large or too small. And we do know our business well. Since our inception, we've handled nearly every type of coin collection, estate, and accumulation imaginable. I mean, and I know this is a little bit of a Coins Plus infomercial, but I'm letting you know who we are. We're committed to the highest levels of integrity in every transaction. So don't go on the web and become an expert. Folks, you want to get in trouble, go do that. Go take your money and ship it across the country and think you're saving, you know, 0.2% or whatever it is. We match everything nationally. We're nationally competitive, and we're Christian-owned and operated. We're local. We're here to stay. We are always buying and always selling. We're committed to the highest levels of integrity in every transaction. We actually operate from one of the nation's finest facilities. We're always buying and we're always selling. We're always assisting investors in preserving and protecting their capital in a safe, conservative, and timeless manner, including 401k and IRA investments. So, if you have scrap gold jewelry or diamonds, a lot of times people are like, how do I tell the purity of it, okay? Real gold jewelry has a carat purity stamp on it. There's two different kinds of carats. There's the carat weight of a diamond, which is C-A-R-A-T, and there's the carat purity of gold, which is K-A-R-A-T. Why someone chose that, I don't know. But you've got 10K, 14K, 18K. Those are carats, purity stamps, like my ring that I wear usually is 14 carat. I have on a watch, a Rolex watch, that's 18 carat pure. If you see gold that says it's 24 carat pure, 24 carat means perfectly pure. So lower purities should be a relative percentage of the purity of 24 carat. In other words, 10 carat should be 10 divided by 24. I hope I'm not losing you mathematically. Which is 0.4166, blah, 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 purity. 14 carat should be 0.585 because you take 14 divided by 24. The only problem with that is they came up years back, many, many years back, with what they call the plum laws. The plum law allows the manufacturer to vary the stamped purity as much as 8 to 10%. So a 10 carat stamp can actually be 9 carat, which we see all the time. If the item is marked 14K P with a P after it, the P means it's plum. The P means it's pure. The P means that it's real 14K. But be warned, most items that are stamped, and a lot of this might mean nothing to you, but it's just knowledge, okay? Most items that are stamped 22 or 24 carat K are from overseas and are most always marked higher than their actual purity. There is also fake gold jewelry stamps all over the marketplace, especially with eBay. So that's why reputable gold coin dealers like Coins Plus use a variety of methods to determine the actual purity if they have to. Most of the time, they can just tell. The most reputable gold dealers like Coins Plus will pay you 80 to 90% of the gold that is in your gold, scrap gold, jewelry, you know, and diamonds. And a lot of people have old, you know, I'm not going to tell you that an old Tiffany piece doesn't have a premium. Don't get me wrong. But I will tell you that a lot of people that have an old wedding ring that they wore for 22 years and they bring it in and they're shocked that somebody else doesn't want to buy it for more than the gold content because of sentimental reasons, it doesn't work. Sentimentality does not affect value. You have to ask yourself, when's the last time you went to a coin when's the last time you went out to buy used gold jewelry? It just doesn't happen. So we end up melting the vast majority of it down. We take it apart. The value of it to us is the components that are in it, the value of the components that are in it. So we'll remove the diamond and then we'll melt the gold and we'll offer new product to people who are getting married or whatever. Most coin shops like Coins Plus, gold dealers, at least coin, I'll just speak for us because it's not true that most. There's a guy up the road, Gold Bay, who was just living on lies. It was very frustrating for us because he would deceive people in so many ways. He finally got shut down by the police and got his business license yanked, thank God. Because he was so full of baloney, it was just, there was a lot of trouble going on there, and that's my own personal problems. But anyway, well, we usually pay 80 to 90% of the gold that's in a piece of scrap gold, okay? Now, that's not the same as a gold eagle. If you have a 1 ounce gold coin, you know, we're going to be paying you within a percent or two of what we're selling it at. I'll say within a few percent. That sounds better. That's more real. But pawn shops, they'll pay you 20% of the gold content. Jewelry shops will pay 30, 40%. The highest I've seen any jewelry or pawn shop pay is usually around 50% of the actual gold content, while we're paying up to 90%. If you have if you inherit a coin collection and you're thinking of selling it to Coins Plus, whatever you do, just don't clean it. Leave it alone. Leave it the way it is. Bring it in the way you got it. We can go through it so much faster. People try to do all this fancy spreadsheets and all this work online, and it just creates havoc for us. You know, a coin's value is not based on its age. It's based on its rarity, okay? It's based on supply and demand, just like everything else. How many were originally minted? How many are preserved? How many were released by the mint? You know, how many were destroyed because the mint destroyed a lot of coins? The condition can affect the value of a coin, but some coins are very common, and so even in nice shape, they're easily found. Other coins can be heavily circulated and worth a lot of money. Some of the early coins, and so age does not dictate rarity. When we sell you coins, that are rare with low mintages, okay? We sell you coins that are not, you know, condition rarities. We don't like condition rarities. That means, if the coin wasn't in an amazing condition, it wouldn't be worth anything. But because it's in amazing condition, it is worth something. The reason we don't do that is because more can appear. If a coin is common, that will eventually more are going to appear, right? So we don't emphasize that. Bullion, I'm out of time. I wanted to talk about, you know, how do you buy and sell bullion? Bullion is just a fancy term for items that trade for their gold or silver content. It can be found in any shape or form as long as it's bought and sold strictly for its intrinsic gold or silver content. Most gold and silver bullion is traded in the form of silver or gold coins or bars. Not people think of these cubes because of their chicken bullion or whatever. However, that's not the case. That's actually a different word. For gold, coins are the best. Why? Because coins are minted by respected world governments. I don't care if you like China or South Africa or Australia or whoever or Canada. They make gold coins and their assays are accurate and true, and that's why they're good stuff to have, okay? So they can you can buy them from a tenth to a quarter to a half to 1 ounce each. That's how you trade bullion. Silver comes in the form of either a coin, which we refer to as rounds, or bars. You can buy 1 ounce, 10 ounce, 100 ounce, all the way to 1,000 ounce silver bars. I'd never recommend a 1,000 ounce silver bar. They're, not only are they reportable to the IRS, they're also impossible. If you want a small amount of money, good luck. You got to trade the huge bar in and get more back. You're better off with smaller pieces, always. And that's why we always recommend buying 1 ounce rounds and things. If you need a small amount of money, you come and get it, and that's it. Obviously, that's pretty obvious. It's usually most bullion's traded within a couple, you know, 2 to 4% of its value between the purchase and the sale, and I'm running out of time. Certified coins. These are everywhere. People see this MS-70 stuff all over if you watch TV. Folks, just avoid it. Don't get into that stuff. Just get into rarities. If you want to invest, give us a call, 444-0044. We build portfolios. We'll take care of you. We will give you good material. We give you the material that is designed to put away, okay? It's a long-term savings. You want to save. You want to leave an inheritance. It's so cool when people, you know, when we buy these collections that are 30, 40 years old, the profit is astounding. So anyway, we most importantly, we do 401k and IRA investments. Give us a call, folks. We do them. They're easy. They're fast. Last, give us a good 5-star review on Google. You get a free silver dollar. If you do it on 3 sites, you get 2 silver dollars. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. We'll be back next time. Bye-bye.